Hey, it's Fleet, Vaughn and Megan. Thanks.
Insert name here.
For downloading the podcast brought to you by MyRepublic.
Brought to you by MyRepublic, but what if I downloaded this using another provider?
Well, don't worry. They won't hold it against you. How's that for knowing no limits?
ZM's Fleet, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the
good
show.
Good morning.
Thank you, producer Caitlin.
Now, Fletch usually brings a bag of fruit to the show, but well, you've got at least half a dozen mandarins there.
I always bring, it's mandarin season.
Half a dozen mandarins?
Oh, you know, because I don't have any apples today. I've only got bananas and mandies.
Well, and in your exchange rate, what's one apple worth? Three mandarins or two mandarins?
Maybe two mandarins.
Two mandarins.
Yeah, that's my fruit.
For real? So you eat like, is that seven mandarins?
One, two, three, four, five, six. Half a dozen.
Yeah.
Oh, and two bananas.
And two bananas.
Do you eat all of that?
Yeah.
That's madness.
I'm a grown boy, Megan. I need all the energy.
When you... When you shit, it's quite an event, isn't
it? It's fibrous.
Yeah, he's very quick. Now I know why. He's in and out because he's
in and
a
out.
Fruit guy.
Yeah.
So
right.
Much fruit.
Now, coming up on the show today, the ticket wheel is back and we've got tickets on the wheel to a whole bunch of shows, including all the big ones. Sia, Ed Sheeran, Bruno
Harry
Mars.
Styles.
Harry Styles. Yet Thea as well, her New Zealand tour. So you can spin that at 8 o'clock and win this morning. We've got the top six soon.
Yeah, there was fake Lions gear being sold outside the stadium in Dunedin before the Highlanders game. And they caught them. Those people that you always see selling merch outside gigs that you're like, this doesn't look legit.
Did you see the Adele ones? All those old mates selling rip-off Adele t-shirts?
They're right outside the gate just standing there hawking them off.
It's ballsy.
Yeah.
Well, these guys got caught in the top six today as the top six signs that the Lions gear was fake. How people knew that it was a big fake.
Like when you go to, actually, when you're in Europe, Megan, on your holiday, are you going to indulge in some fake Louis Vuitton or Dolce & Gabbana?
The guy's selling them off picnic blankets. just scoop up the picnic blanket and run.
Yeah.
Be rude not to. Are you helping the local economy when you do that or not so much?
Oh, trickle-down economics or something?
Yeah, I think you're helping a few criminals.
Okay.
Sure, but they're locals.
Yeah.
So yes, I guess so.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
All right, you lot, listen up. It's story time.
All right, three news headlines, three unusual, weird, interesting, unusual news stories. Vaughn and Megan, you must pick one headline now. The others
you
will be deleted.
You must pick one.
That is how the game works.
Mm-hmm.
Headline one, new hostel opens to glowing reviews. Headline two, gun safety lesson goes bad. And headline three, man seen joining the Mile High Club solo.
Oh, grim.
He didn't a seat. Go to the bathroom. Like any other normal person on a longer than 3 hour flight.
Is number two story brought to you by Florida?
I don't actually know, but it is.
America.
It is America, yeah.
Okay.
Hostel opens to glowing review.
Do you want that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unusual.
The Ukrainian government has opened a hostel within the Chernobyl contamination zone, giving holidaymakers the chance to explore the epicenter of history's most devastating nuclear disaster.
Is that allowed?
Like in and out in one day, but you're not sleeping overnight in there.
Because we've talked about this. I lent my jacket to my friend
your jacket's
Simon.
Been to Chernobyl.
And my jacket, which by the way, I haven't had dry cleaned, is in my wardrobe.
Oh.
I can see it glowing green at night.
And infecting all your other clothes.
Mm.
You're radioactive now.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I don't know if dry cleaning gets rid of radioactive.
But I think, he said they just go in and out.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've seen documentaries. They have the Geiger meters, is that what they call them?
Yeah.
And you've only got a certain amount of time before you start getting radiated.
Depending on the exposure, like the level of radiation, there's a safe time to be in there.
Well, there are enough beds for 50 people in the former Soviet dormitory. It's about 15 Ks from the site of the nuclear power plant, Chernobyl. So they plan to accommodate to 102 guests. The first guests at the hostel have included foreigners from New Zealand, Denmark, and the United States. And do you know what? I would do it. I'd go.
But how long are you supposed to stay in there before you start getting radiation?
Well, that's the thing. If it's further away,
right?
They're probably within the contamination zones a bit wider than needs to be safety. It's probably on the outer rim, I assume. But still,
what are you doing?
Sleeping in a microwave.
They did put another concrete cover over it.
Oh, right. Well, it's sweetening.
So what do they call it? A sarcophagus. Like kind of to keep...
Like a mummy's enclosure.
Yeah, like basically, just put a cover over it and forget about it.
More to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently that was them whether or not that's working.
Well, I don't know, yeah. But I mean, yeah, if you're doing the OE and you're near Russia, Ukraine,
you can go in for a...
Where do you get food? Like, you're just not going to go walking down the street and getting food, though.
Well, no, but you'd get it from the hostel, from other parts of Ukraine.
Yeah, and they grew it out in their vegetable garden. That's where the lettuces are 8 foot tall. But there's, like, animals and stuff that they obviously can't stop animals migrating out of the zone. And there's radioactive wild pigs and...
It's crazy,
deformed deers. I'm sure I saw a deer with three horns that somebody snapped a photo of coming out of the Chernobyl zone.
Get mutant Ninja Turtles.
Fingers crossed. Because I've had enough of crime.
We can only hope. Yeah. All right, top six is coming up.
Yeah, and the top six signs that the Lions merch being sold outside the Forsyth Bar Stadium in Dunedin was actually fake.
And producer Caitlin has had an ancient... What would you call this? An ancient... You've had ancient medicine, producer Caitlin. We need to talk about this
next. Is it ancient?
Yeah.
I think it is.
I don't know.
Gwyneth Paltrow endorsed.
Sonny Bill Williams endorsed as
well. That's the only reason why I did it. Because Sonny does it.
You're hoping to run into Sonny Bill Williams at the...
Well, we're like matching now.
Oh, yep.
He's married.
Like, exactly.
I know. He's married.
Yeah, and a devout Muslim.
I know, but we all crush on married men.
Could you be a
not you, Vaughan. I'm not looking at you.
No, you look right at me, and I'm the only married man here, so thank you.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughan and Megan, the podcast.
Caitlin has undertaken I don't know how old this therapy is.
Shall I do a quick Google?
Treatment.
Yeah. I'll do a quick Google on this.
Maybe the origins of it, the etymology of it.
It just says it's an ancient form, so yeah, it must be very old.
Okay, so
Egyptian
it is.
Old? It feels like some of those crazy bastards would have done.
I think it's Chinese medicine.
Even older.
Mm.
Last night, Caitlin, tell everybody what you did.
I went and I got cupping on my back.
Now, that's where... Were they glass?
Well, they must have been. I had my face head down in the thing. You know, look at
these things before they strap them to
you. No, I know. Well, because, okay, remember that last time I went to get like a massage and then the woman was like, oh, you've got lots of tension. I'll scrape it. Like, and she did the scraping thing on my neck.
Absolutely had, like, ruined you.
The blood vessels rose to the top. So, and apparently it's a thing, but I was like, I'm a bit scared about this one because I've been getting acupuncture. But the woman was like, oh no, like honestly, everyone says that it feels really good. Like I enjoy it. It doesn't hurt.
Well, it's the cupping.
Yeah. And then I was like, Sunny Bill does it. So.
You're okay. In. I'm in.
Yeah. And it was not nice. I did not enjoy it.
That's a lot of pressure because it sucks the skin up and then like brings all the blood and they go purple and stuff.
Yeah, because like the purple bruises look kind of cool.
Yeah, you've got big hickeys.
Yeah, on my back and my bum.
Out? Did you see what got sucked out? Did it suck anything out?
No, so apparently it releases the skin.
Oh yeah, bullshit.
No. Apparently it releases because I'm like all tight, Megan, you know what I'm saying? It's like tight
bunch
in there.
Of bullshit. Right.
And it will release so there's more room inside because it brings...
So it's witchcraft.
Okay. But I was lying there. You know how it's like a massage chair where you've got your face in a thing?
Table, yep.
And I was like, Julia? Like tears streaming down my eyes and down my nose. No, because I was being a wuss. And then I was like, Caitlin, you stop that. It's only 10 minutes.
Gave yourself a talking to.
Yeah.
How long they're on there? 10 minutes?
Yeah, well, she said only 10 minutes for me because I was a bit of a wuss.
Well, technically it's like a hickey, right? That's what it looks like.
Oh, yeah.
If it's more purple and bruised, then that's where it's like more tight and that's where you need to get it done more. So not so much on my bum. I can show you later, but it's more like...
If it's darker, that means the blood's not flowing very well. Because, like Michael Phelps and lots of sports people use it to increase blood flow in like sore areas because it helps it heal.
Yeah.
You were right, Vaughn, too. It's Egyptian and Greek.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Bloody Egyptians. Lunatics.
Lunatics. They invented eyeliner. Egyptians. They know what they're doing.
Did they invent eyeliner?
Yeah.
Worshipped cats.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Real.
They're good with me.
Bloody lunatics, the Egyptians.
They're cat ladies. Crazy cat ladies.
Cat ladies put in charge of an ancient civilization.
Right.
So does it feel better?
Do you feel...
But that's because I think I need a few treatments.
No! God, I hate when I hear that. Oh, no, it didn't work the first time, but apparently I need a course of treatments. That cost how much per pop?
That's ACC. Free.
ACC paid for cupping.
ACC are paying for cupping. Oh, well, no, I'm not happy about that.
Hang on a minute, I'm not happy about it. Acupuncture.
And then she just chucks some cups on at the same time.
Yeah, just whip them
She's on. Double dipping Great. The ACC. She's got a gritty little snout in the trough.
Let's not talk about this because then I might get a call from ACC.
Or from her, she can no longer do cupping.
Exercise is really bad for you guys. It makes your body weird and bung.
It makes it sore. I've been avoiding it.
Yeah.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast.
It's the top six.
Right, today's top six. The top six signs the Lions gear was fake. This is fake merchandise seized before the Highlanders versus our Lions game that took place.
I think it's Tuesday.
Oh, this week.
Yeah, this week.
This week.
Or was it Saturday? No, that was the Crusaders.
Yeah, Crusaders. The Lions, like, they're losing a lot of games, but man, they're playing a lot of games.
They are, yeah.
So this is similar to, we referenced Adele when walking to the Adele concert scene, as though every New Zealander went at least twice. You'd be familiar on the walk there was people with like picnic blankets with Adele t-shirts and stuff, and they looked pretty legit and they were cheaper than the merch inside, but of course they were fake.
They were fake. I've seen it once or twice outside Vector for shows, but that Adele was the first time I'd gone, wow, people do this in New Zealand?
Heaps.
Like, yeah. Crazy.
Heaps.
And like, judging by the concerts, a lot of people were buying the cheap ones.
Oh, yeah. Well, why wouldn't you? They looked exactly the same.
Well, yeah.
They had, that's what I want to know, how they got the exact same design.
Well, they just would have seen.
Do they have like an Aussie maybe,
international network?
Maybe,
where
yeah.
Where one bad guy buys an authentic one and then they just copy it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the top six signs the Lions gear was fake outside the Highlanders Lions game on night. Number six, they were selling authentic Lions bongs.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, rugby teams don't generally have bongs amongst their merchandise.
Yeah.
They stick to your t-shirts,
your
socks, your small supporters' beers.
Yeah.
Number five on the list for today's top six is that Lion was spelled L-Y-I-N.
Oh, classic. Lion.
Lion. Yeah, classic typo there for the Lions gear. Number four on the list of the top six signs the Lions gear was fake. It wasn't even a lion on the supporters' t-shirt, it was a tiger. I mean, both big cats.
Amateur mistake.
But a tiger would always beat a lion.
Yeah.
That's a fact. They're like three times the weight. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You might not have ever thought about it because you don't see them together.
But lions are they have the big manes, don't they? And that makes them look bigger.
But tigers are like,
okay.
Only male and black lions killing have machines. The manes too.
Yeah, and they're the lazy ones.
Yeah, they don't do
the
any of the
lionesses do all the work.
Yeah.
If you've seen The Lion King, you should be familiar with that.
Yes.
The lioness doing all the work. Simba, Mufasa, Scar, all lazy bastards. All horrible
all
lazy bastards. Number three on the list for today's top six, the top six signs the Lions gear was fake. The red, it was more of a blood orange.
Right.
It was more cheaper to print blood orange. Number two on the list, the sponsor, which of course is usually Standard Life Investments, was Standing Love Invitations. And that's a real...
Looks legit from a distance.
It does.
Yeah.
Get close. Good from far, far from good though.
Yep.
And the number one sign today in the top six, the number one sign that the Lions gear was fake that was being sold outside the Dunedin Stadium, it listed the countries involved in the Lions as England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Chinese, Japanese. What are these big boobies? Which, of course,
not,
isn't
the
case.
No, it's
neither
not.
Neither China, Japan, or big boobies involved
in the Lions.
Officially in the Lions tour. That's today's top six.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
I read the story in the paper yesterday, and I've been made aware of this not when I was renting.
Yep.
But I am aware of this now, and it's a massive thing that landlords... So if you're renting and you get a monthly water bill...
Because some towns and cities in New Zealand don't do this.
I think, I know Hamilton, I think that everybody pays, all major cities are paying for water now.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is Nelson?
Nelson pays for water.
Yeah.
Your parents pay for water in the Knack?
No.
Did the new Plymouth not pay for the water?
No, I think it will happen, but I mean, it rains so much.
Everyone just start collecting their own.
Yeah.
Right.
There's enough. But I know that, like, when I lived in Nelson, you didn't have to, but then they bought it in. But then some places you didn't pay the water because the rates that the landlord paid kind of dropped a little bit, or they covered it. I don't know.
Yeah. So you pay something every month, or however often you pay your water bill, called a fixed water charge. Now, that is what you pay to have water running to your house. Otherwise, they come and they lock the tap and they put a padlock on it so you can't, have water to your house.
That amount doesn't change. That's a fixed amount
It's a fixed amount every month. It's like, you know, when there were landlines, you paid, even if you made no toll calls and didn't use your phone, you just had to pay to be connected to the service.
Yep. Yeah.
So to have the cable running to your house effectively.
Okay.
So there's a $16, I know in Auckland it's about $17 a month.
Yep.
Fixed charge.
Yeah.
So it turns out landlords have been passing on that cost.
Some landlords.
Yeah. Not most. All of them. Not most of them. And unless you know, have been passing on that cost. Like, you literally just get the water bill or a copy of it, and the landlord's like, "Hey, can you pay the water bill?" And then you can pay it online or pay it at the post office or whatever. And for ages, people haven't been aware of the fact that that's the landlord's responsibility to pay.
But you still pay for the water that
you
use.
You pay for the water you use, and you pay for the water, the wastewater, the water that gets taken away.
The grey water.
But they have to pay that fixed fee.
Because
they
have to provide water to their house. It's like imagine moving into a flat and they're like, "Oh, there's nothing comes out of the taps." And the landlord's like, "Oh yeah, I don't provide water at all. There's no pipes to the mains or anything."
You have to, don't you?
You have to.
How are you supposed to know? Because I probably pay for the...
We lived in the same flat for 6.5 years.
Yep. And did you pay the bill in full?
Every time.
In full.
Every time we paid that bill. We just got sent the water bill.
So
and we just send it.
Shall I do it?
Yeah, I've already worked it out. It's about $1,000.
Which, I mean, over time, that's a lot of money.
$1,000
is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Man.
So it all adds up, and it's something that, like, unless you ask, maybe your landlord also doesn't know. But that is their responsibility.
So do you think now there'll be a lot of people flatting that are like, let's look at what we've been paying?
Yeah.
And then, hello, landlord.
Because the water can be, it's generally assigned to whomever's name is on the title, like the landlord, the person who owns the property, but you can... When you move in, get it changed to your name so the bill comes to you directly and you just pay the whole thing. But that's $17 or whatever it is in your local area.
Yeah.
That's the landlord's responsibility to pay. Because as a landlord, you've got a few responsibilities. One's like a stove.
Yeah.
Hydra
slide.
Yeah.
A swimming pool.
No possums living in the third room.
You should hit your landlord up.
And paying the fixed water rates. I would love to know, because this got me thinking yesterday. Landlords can be amongst the worst people in the world, and so can tenants. I'm not picking anybody's side here, because there's the bad landlords and there's the awful tenants.
Yeah.
I'd love to know when your landlord, like, looking back on it now, maybe you got scammed into paying for something.
Right.
That you really shouldn't have. Like, it's not your responsibility to pay for.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when we lived in a flat. Do you remember that flat I lived in? The same one that we lived in for ages.
Yeah.
And the shower was leaking internally in the wall, and we had no idea. And one day that massive crack just appeared in the wall. And then the person came around and they're like, "Oh yeah, that's all like completely buggered. Because water's just been spraying constantly for 6 months. Huge crack in the wall." And the landlord asked us to pay for the replastering.
What?
Rather than them using their insurance or whatever to get the whole wall fixed, they were like, "Well, we'll just stop the leak and then we'll just plaster over the problem. You guys sort out the plastering." I was like, No. But if I, and they were like, "Oh, okay, yeah, that's fair enough." If I'd said yes,
no,
we would have
had to pay for it.
Yeah, we just would have ignorantly paid for it.
So cheeky.
We had to pay for curtains because the blinds stuffed out, and they were like, "Well, if you want them, you have to put them up."
See, I think curtains are one of the response.
But then, like, did you take them when you moved out?
Haven't moved out yet. Still in the leaky barn.
those curtains are yours.
Yeah.
You take those even curtains.
If all you do is turn them into superhero capes.
Yes. A brown superhero cape.
Or an old abacus with the curtain rail.
Or just shred them and leave them on a pile on the floor. Oh. With the, like a big middle finger to them.
These are yours now.
So let's take your calls. 0800 dials at M9696.
When did your landlord try to get you to pay for something? Maybe you did pay for it.
And when did they rip you off? Give us a call.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast.
We want to know when your landlords ripped you off. Tony, what happened?
So I was renting this place. It's been there for about 2 months. And when I moved in, I agreed with the landlord that when the gas bottles for the hot water ran out, that I would pay to replace them.
Okay.
So they ran out about 2 months into me being there. So I, told her and organized and gave her, I think I gave her like $96 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the week later, she handed me my eviction notice. Because she had family coming to live in the country, so they needed somewhere to stay.
And you got free, she got free gas bottles.
Yeah, so she got two new gas bottles, like big gas bottles.
No.
How full were the gas bottles when you moved in, though?
They weren't that full. Like, I didn't think too much of it because we'd had, an agreement that we were looking for somewhere long-term to stay.
But, I just sort of left the taps on when I moved out.
Yeah,
just gone outside, unhooked it, just let it go into the atmosphere and then say, fill them up now yourself.
She was the landlord from hell. I went 4 days with no water at all to my property. So.
Oh, wow.
That's rough, eh? All right, thanks, Tony. Text messages in.
Woo.
So, some dodgy stories.
Oh, yeah. Somebody said, I know a group of guys who own a house and rent it to uni students. Part of the charge for the people renting was a $10 a week grounds maintenance.
Yeah.
Now, this was so the guys didn't have to mow the lawns.
Mm.
However, they have to let the lawnmower onto the property. This was part of it.
Yeah.
The lawnmower has to come around and get their permission to mow the lawns.
Okay.
Hungover dudes.
Yeah.
And the lawn hadn't been mowed for months.
Yeah.
They rang they asked the landlord, and the landlord's like, well, the lawnmower comes every weekend and knocks on the door, and if you don't answer... and they were all like, well, that makes sense because we're hungover. No one's answering the door.
Yeah.
It turns out they just weren't sending anybody. They were just assuming these guys were hungover every weekend. At least that
Cheeky.
One stage of the weekend, they could be like, well, they knocked on the door, but you guys didn't answer, so we didn't mow the lawns.
And so they were so ripping cheeky. Them off $10 a week.
$10 a week.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Somebody else said that professional carpet cleaning is a clause we've had in every rental contract to date. Apparently completely unenforceable.
Is it?
If you look up rental law, it says unless you've done something to warrant a carpet clean, like a stain or something specific, they can't just say when you move out you have to pay for a professional carpet.
Because I had that. Oh, really? I've had that in one of mine, a carpet cleaning one, but it was just a room, so I was like, that's all right, that's fine. And it was like $100.
And yeah, if you've made a mess, you're not going to get your bond back unless you've
Unless there's a stain that they can say we need to get that cleaned. But then you could just get the stain spot clean, couldn't you?
Yes.
Whoa, I never knew that was a thing.
Somebody asked you, the landlord charges $40 a month for lawn cutting. And the neighbour, we worked out, it's just the neighbour that does it. The landlord just knows the neighbour and said to him, oh, when you're doing your lawns, if you could whip around. And it's just like a box of beer at Christmas is a bit of a thank you.
Because he's just some old mate that loves
mowing the lawns. Yeah.
And he's getting $40.
$40. The landlord's getting $40 every time he gets mowed for nothing.
That's cheeky,
so
eh?
Cheeky.
That's not even having it. Somebody said, this is amazing. I've been flatting for 15 years. I've been paying water rates the entire time. Pay the whole bill every time I get it. I've never questioned it.
So you'd be able to get the 15 or whatever
17.
It is. Because I don't know, that story that you were referring to was Auckland, but it might be different in other parts of the country, would it?
As for the fixed charge?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think if you pay water rates, there's probably a fixed charge. Even like the rates breakdown.
Right.
Even if you're not paying for specifically the amount of water you use, I think in your rates there's a charge. Part of your rates is to pay for the water usage. So there might be a fixed rate in there.
Imagine all that free money you'll get back.
If you've
been in a place for 15...
I think you're probably more likely to be able to say, I'm not paying it from now on rather than where's my $15
I'd be asking for the last 5 years back in fixed charges. If you've got all the bills, why not? That's what that article was saying yesterday. People are hitting up their landlords saying, I've been paying this all this time. Giz my muns.
Yeah, but...
Can I go to them and say, giz my muns?
I mean, you go for, you can try.
Yes. You've been trying to get a soggy wall fixed for like 6 months. I don't know if giving your mum's is going to work.
No, it's true.
Give me my mum.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Horrifying pictures out of the UK last night. A 24-story tower, the Grenville Tower, on fire.
It was haunting to watch on the news.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the latest this morning, 12 fatalities have been confirmed. Police expecting that death toll to rise. A lot of people are missing, unaccounted for. Apparently, the upper floors, they don't think anyone survived on the top few floors.
Oh, well, they had a policy. I was watching the news. They had a policy that you didn't evacuate unless you were directly affected by the fire.
Yeah.
So when the fire started towards the bottom of the building,
no.
All the people on the top floor were just told to remain calm. And then it just all took off way too quick. So I think that number of 12 will rise.
People were jumping out using sheets as parachutes.
Yeah.
People threw babies out and they were being caught.
Being caught by the public in like blankets, like you see in oldie time cartoons of people jumping out of fires.
Crazy.
Well, a Kiwi who's been not too far from it joins us on the phone. Steph, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good. So how long have you been in London?
I'm finishing my two-year visa in about 3 months.
Right.
As 2 years.
Is life for you like life for our old producer, James? Every time something bad happens in London, Caitlin freaks out and says, you're not involved, are you?
Yeah, I think with most of these things that have been happening recently, my family's found out sooner than I have. I'm usually asleep and kind of wake up to panicked texts from everyone.
Now you live quite close to this building.
Yes, probably about 3 streets back from it.
So when this fire, because they say the fire really kicked off at 1:30 in the morning, were you alerted to it by sirens or anything, or were you blissfully unaware until the morning?
Luckily, I had actually taken a sleeping pill just before I went to bed, so I was completely knocked out, but my boyfriend was kept awake by the sirens all night, so I had no idea until I woke up in the morning and, you know, saw all the texts from Mum, and he said that they'd been calling me, so to let them know they're okay. He said he could hear all the sirens from about 1 o'clock onwards, and he could tell something quite major was happening.
So what's it like now? Because when I went to bed last night, so a few hours ago, most of the footage was still like the building was still on fire, really. Have they managed to put it out now?
From what I've seen on the news, I think it's a lot more under control. But this morning, obviously, all the public transport's been shut down. So I, you know, left for work early having to walk, and I was quite nervous to go outside. I wasn't sure what to expect, knowing that we're quite close. And as soon as I stepped outside, I could see, you know, the building ablaze and all the smoke. I really wasn't expecting quite what I saw. And as I walked further down High Street, I could actually get a really clear sight of the building. So I know it's just horrible to hear about these things, but when it's right in front of you and you see people's lives, you know, being destroyed, it's quite upsetting.
Right, well, thanks for having a chat to us about it. Hopefully you can get home because you're just about to head home from work, aren't you?
Yeah, so hopefully I can get a bus.
I was going to say, with public transport shut down, what are your options to get home?
Walking. So I walked, it took me about an hour and a half this morning, and then I finally got to a tube station and took the tube for one stop. But, you know, like I said, I'm not affected directly, so if I have to walk for a couple of days, you know, at least I'm safe, at least my friends and family are safe, and it's not the worst thing that's happening at the moment, you know?
Thanks so much for having a chat to us, Steph.
Okay, thank you, guys.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Friday, as our last day, we're taking a couple of weeks break.
Yeah, Megan and I have been, we talked a lot about the holiday before you got to work today. And
see,
then
we're such
thank
good
you.
Friends.
Thank you for that.
We're good
Fletch
friends.
Is like, get it out of the way before Vaughn gets here.
Yeah, because we don't want to make Vaughn upset because you had to cancel your holiday because your daughter broke her arm.
Broke her arm, so we're not going to.
We just want to rub it in your face.
Tropical island getaway.
But then we say that, but then Megan's been worrying on all morning about her suitcase and her packing.
Her luggage issue. Now, somebody actually, because we mentioned you're currently at 27. Was it 27 or 28?
28.
28 kgs luggage.
Yeah.
Now, you've
now
got
your first air leg of your flight's 30k. You're allowed a 30kg baggage allowance. Now, the next leg is the issue because that's
so like an internal flight.
That's a 20
kg.
Now, this person messaged in saying if you booked that as one flight.
Mm, they didn't.
You didn't.
No, it's not a stopover. It's staying in this place and then getting a
different airline.
Yeah, yeah, it's not a connecting.
Because they said if you get a connecting flight and it was all booked as one.
No.
Negatory.
They have to honour the initial.
But then, okay, luggage. So this, and we've mentioned this week as well, you had too many shoes. 7 pairs of shoes.
Yeah, but I even had to email my travel agent. Shut up, Fletch. Because I saw it, like I packed to 30, right?
Yep.
And then I saw it said 20 kgs for the other one. And I was like, hey, what the hell? Can I actually take 30? And she's like, no, you'll have to take 20. But I've got 7 shoes. Now, before you laugh, there's a couple of pairs of heels because I don't know which pair of heels will match the outfit. There's some flats,
black,
some cute
just
flats.
Just go black. They'll match everything.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Some cute flats, a pair of jandals because there'll be beaches. Then there is some sneakers in case I do like serious walking.
How many pairs of sneakers?
Just one,
okay.
Technically. Then I've got a pair of like cute sneakers, like Vans, but you wouldn't want to walk long distance in them.
Well, don't take them.
Don't take them.
You said you had cute flats.
Yeah, but those aren't like comfortable to walk. Those are medium distance.
Get rid of them too.
Yeah.
You've got
just take
one pair of heels, sports shoes, and jandals.
No.
And even that's pushing it.
Photos.
What do I wear during the day?
Photos waste up. People only, you don't know these people. They're not going to see you that you're wearing the same outfit or shoes the next day.
What else is in there? Well, let's cut some more weight.
Well, no, because I've got like my toiletries bag.
What's in there? Because I always find even guys take way too much toiletries away.
Night moisturiser, morning moisturiser.
Okay, one moisturiser.
My hair straightener's in there as well.
I don't think your face knows what moisturiser you use.
It doesn't know what time it is, eh? Your paws are like, it's daytime, why is it nighttime on my face?
I need more girls around. See Caitlin Shaker.
You came to us with an issue and we're solving your problem.
No, but you're not solving it. You're just chucking out all my stuff.
I can't believe you got...
Why do you need two moisturizers?
No, because one's lighter with a sunscreen for the morning, and then you have your heavy duty one to like stop wrinkles at night.
They're just not going to understand, Megan, as much as we say. Because look, it's Frugal Fletch, and I save all the time. I never spend any money. Vaughn. So.
A frugal Vaughn and safety dad who just is going to take a couple of t-shirts.
Yeah, I'm literally taking. I always take heaps of undies, one pair of shorts.
Literally.
I'm all about heaps of undies.
Yep, heaps of socks.
Yeah.
Jandals.
No, that's the best part about going somewhere tropical.
Yeah.
That's why I love an island holiday. I can go with a backpack.
Megan,
heaps of undies, some shorts that double as togs. God. So double,
I'd have extra togs.
Then you get a rash because the salt stays in the shorts when you're walking around. You know?
You rinse them in the shower.
Oh, my God. What were you going to say, Kate?
My only concern for you is that you're going to need extra room in that bag for shopping.
Yeah.
So
where do I find that?
You've got to be ruthless. Just...
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Take half the shoes, take half the stuff.
Not half of it, but think about all of the new stuff.
Would you take 7 pairs of shoes, though, Caitlin? It's ridiculous.
You don't know what you're going to need.
Yeah, I've got heartburn. This is how much it stresses me out. I can't just take jandals. Seriously.
So there's some messages are coming in, some tips.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do what we did coming home from Thailand. You put your shoes in your carry-on, and that saves you a ton of weight.
Good.
A couple of pairs of shoes in the carry-on.
Yep, good call.
If you take a snowboard bag, you're allowed 15 kgs of sports luggage.
What, in addition to?
Perhaps. But see, you know, this airline you're flying on is like a budget job.
It's the second one that I'm worried about.
It's whatever country you're in's Jetstar. Like, they'll
Volunteer.
Crack down. They'll crack down on that.
I've never even heard
Volunteer.
Of it.
Volunteer.
Yeah.
That's a cross between volatile and volunteers.
Volatile volunteers.
They're not getting paid and they're not happy about it.
All right, who wants to fly today? Any volunteers?
Anybody want to work on this airline? I'll do it. But I'll warn you.
Doesn't sound good, does it?
Somebody said, I can't believe this is even an issue for you, Megan. Just take as much empty space as you can because that means shopping over there.
Yeah.
Megan, buy shoes over there. Buy the cheapest shoes over there. So like jandals. But then jandals, they might be the cheapest over there, but they also take up the least room on the way
also,
there.
Also, jannies you've got to wear in. And then they hit the sweet spot.
Don't take a brand new pair of jannies on.
Nah, you don't want to get a blister on your hollies.
Have any females text in?
Hairspray and shampoo you buy when you get there. and you just buy enough to do you while you're there, and then you just leave
that's
it there.
That's actually a good tip. That's actually a good tip.
Anything sort of like that you're not going to need a huge amount of, you can get travel size.
What about Andrew? Is he Toy Boy? Is he
are you going to be encroaching on his baggage space?
Actually, I haven't weighed his bag. Yeah.
Amateur, come on.
Chuck some shoes in his bag.
Come on.
But then how many pairs of shoes is he taking?
Oh, I don't know, 3 probably. Is that quite a lot for a boy?
3 pairs of shoes.
Yeah, well, I'm taking one.
Well, yeah, but you'll want to go nice places, eh?
Yeah.
Well, there's an extra shoes I never take on holiday.
I don't take nice shoes on holiday. And then I don't have to go to nice places.
To me, yeah, exactly.
That's my excuse.
If I'm going on holiday, I don't want to have to take nice things. Somebody else.
So tight.
Said that as a fellow Shubsess girl, when I travelled Europe for 3 months, I took 1 pair of flats, 1 pair of sneakers, jandals and heels, then bought loads of shoes over there because shoes are super cheap.
Yeah.
Okay. For the toiletries, go to big stores and use their testers before the start of the
That's a great
thing. Every morning you wake up, you go down to the little...
put your moisturiser on.
La Chemistio and you... Put it all on your face down there.
Put the perfume
on.
That's
a great tip.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Somebody said there's kids in Africa. There's kids everywhere. There's kids here.
No, but this is absolute first world problem, Megan.
You could attribute that to the chat we were having about our $17 water rate. Like, at least we've got water. You can attribute that to anything.
Yeah, Vaughn.
Problems are relative. Hey.
Oh, no, I was just reading out the text of this guy. I thought that they worded it terribly. There's kids in Africa. Yeah. There's kids everywhere. I've got a couple at home. I mean, you can't take them there. You can't take them out of Africa without, you know, Madonna did, but she had a lot of money.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Did she ask?
No.
Jury's out. Jury's out on how much asking was done.
Right. You're listening to the Fleetch, Vaughn & Megan podcast, brought to you by the team at MyRepublic.
Yeah, OneRepublic, with hit songs such as Apologise.
It's MyRepublic.
Yeah,
that's OneRepublic.
That's
OneRepublic. So I'm not here to promote the 2007 album Dreaming Out Loud.
No.
That actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I'll just stop this now then.
Okay.
Yeah, MyRepublic have no limits, but I sure do. If you're sick of limits, sign up to MyRepublic using the promo code podcast and you'll get a month free on top of what is already a great deal. It's no secret that supermarkets have trouble with self-serving checkouts and stealing. Lots of people go in there and they put different codes on things, or like it says, are you using your own bag? And you go, yes, and then you don't have to like weigh it or whatever. Like there's lots of tricks that people do.
Yeah. And
but you're stealing.
It's stealing. Even putting in the wrong code for something to get it cheaper, that's stealing.
Yeah, popcorn kernels for pine nuts and...
Ooh. Yeah, you've read these stories and it is. It's stealing. We're not encouraging that.
So they're looking into ways...
If I may, I went to Kmart.
Mm.
Remember, I was talking about my $8 sieve.
Yeah.
And
they have them there too.
Their self-serving checkouts are shit. We were buying a new dog bed.
Mm.
And because the last one got manky and this is the world we live in, you just throw it out and buy another one for $6.
Yeah. Because
we're just consumable.
Indonesia.
So, and it was this weird wait. It was like, please put the item in the bagging area. And I was like, boom. And it was like, please put the item in the bagging area.
Oh,
I was like,
it is.
And so I took it out.
Do you ever press it a little bit?
But then that doesn't make any sense because I'm guessing they've got a rough weight, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I put it in and then it was like, baggage not in the baggage area. So I took it out.
Yeah.
And then it's like, item removed from baggage area. I was like, but you didn't even think it was in there. Yeah. And now you're telling me I've taken out something that you technically... didn't think was in there in the first place, so I put it back in, and it's like unexpected item in the bagging area.
It's a nightmare. It's
like, well, you've got to make up your damn mind, self-serve machine. Like, where are you at on this whole debate?
Well, yeah, this is a reason why they need to counter it, because it's a huge problem. So they're looking into different ways to stop people from stealing. And one of them is maybe if the voice that talks to you, you know, like swipe your one card or whatever, sounds more human. Although in New Zealand, they sound very human and less robotic. They also are looking at popping up signs, having the thing greet you by name. So it would be like, hi, Vaughn. How are you doing today?
My name?
No.
I have to swipe my one card?
Maybe you swipe first.
New World, whatever your club card is, you'd swipe and it would know you. So
Hello,
what they're
Vaughn.
Saying that if you make it personalised.
Yeah, it like gives you moral triggers. Like, I can't steal from this thing that knows my name.
Oh, because it knows me.
Yeah, and extreme personalization will make people more honest shoppers. They might even do little signs. So, like, if you're buying a red onion and you're like, I'll just put it through as a brown onion, whoopsies, it'll pop up with a little sign saying, are you sure it's that colour onion?
A brown onion?
Majority of people put these through as red onion. Like, so you're like, oh God, okay, it's a red onion.
So you're putting through some grapes and you're like, these are seeded grapes.
Yeah.
Because the ones with seeds in them are always a bit cheaper. And they are gross green grapes. And it's like, are you sure these are seeded green grapes?
It's almost like they're looking at you.
Because most people like seedless red grapes.
Because, if it did come up and it's like, Megan, are you sure about that? You'd be like,
I'm sorry, it was an accident. Yeah.
That's right up there with like walking in and they greet you by name. Hi, Megan. Welcome to this supermarket. We're watching you.
And you're like, how do you know my name? And then you've got your name badge on. So you're like,
that'll be why.
Your name badge. Yeah. You always forget your name badge.
But when you go to the checkout and there's something left on the conveyor belt thing and you know they haven't swiped it, I'm always like, oh, did you get that? Because there's a human standing there. I don't want to like, I can't steal from her. But if it was like on the checkout, the self-serve checkout, there's no one there.
Right.
You know, it's easier because there's no...
They did a study where an ATM gave people more money than they were meant to and a teller, a bank teller. And when it was a bank teller, people were always like, oh, you've given me too much. Here's the money back. But when it's an ATM, they're just like, sweet,
also,
free money.
Because you're like, you don't want to get that person in trouble.
Yeah.
You don't want to get someone in trouble.
But the ATM can't get in trouble.
Well, it's a robot, isn't it? So
it is
whatevs.
A robot. Yeah. Well, I've found a text-to-speech translator.
Mm.
Okay.
So let's just say I'm going through.
Yeah, I'm swiping one card
at the start, and I'm putting through some pine nuts as pumpkin seeds or something.
Okay.
I'm going to just PLU it up. Would this make you any less likely to steal?
This is a demo.
Now I'm stealing them! Why did I do that?
Are you using a
free one?
Why are you?
Hello, Vaughn. Welcome to the supermarket. You're not stealing anything, are you?
Yes. But then what if you're like, I am stealing it. I'm going to steal it.
Does it change its response?
Nothing you can do about it, you dumb computer.
Is it going to tell us it's a demo?
You son of bitch. This is a demo.
Can you not just pay for the full version?
What am I going to pay? I'm only using it for this one segment.
How much does it cost to pay for the full speech translator? How much does it cost?
$4.
Because you would have saved us a lot of embarrassment if you just paid $5.
It's not embarrassment.
This is a demo.
Ah, yeah.
You son of a bitch. Put back those pine nuts.
Okay, I like the music I think
it's the music behind it, so you can't use it for any purposes.
Right. I think I'd be less likely to steal, though, because she sounded so lovely.
Well, imagine if Food Town didn't cop out for the full one, so every time it was like, this is a trial version. Don't steal those pine
nuts. Food Town hasn't been around for a while.
But I said Food Town.
Yeah, Megan has Spine
X. I met three guys in Big Fresh.
ZM's Fledge, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast.
Wow, I'm a fibber.
You'll tell a little lie.
Just tell a stupid, pointless fib just to see if I've still got it.
Do you know, Megan and I, our favourite one is when we're waiting for you somewhere, like a meeting, and you're like,
Would we say it's our favourite?
I am saying this sarcastically, right. Megan. You're like, I'm on my way in.
I'm 5 minutes away. Fletcher's like, drop a pin, Vaughn.
Yeah, that's come to now. Prove it. Show us. Drop a pin.
Yeah.
Or share your location with this chat group.
For an hour, And normally Vaughn's either about to get in the shower or is in the shower or is getting ready still.
He stopped the shower to answer the text, so jump back in the shower.
Yeah.
So isn't finished.
Yep.
But nothing I've ever told measures up to what is currently happening in Nelson.
Is this a bad story?
I saw this on the news Oh, my God.
So this guy, Tyler, he's out. He works for Tally's. He's on one of those big fishing boats that goes out for a long time.
Yeah.
Into the Southern Ocean.
I had a mate that did this. And, like, they earn, like, decent money, don't they?
Yeah.
Because they're, you know.
They're gone for months at a time.
Yeah. But, oh, you'd get bored, wouldn't you? And you'd smell like fish all the time.
It would be the smell.
But it would be like Rotorua. You're immune to it.
I know.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But when you come back and no one else is immune to it.
Yeah. You're in the shower for at least an hour.
Yeah. Really do stinky stuff.
Yeah.
So he's out on one of these boats that's out for a long time. And he's like, from what I can gather.
Yeah.
I'm a bit bored.
I don't like this.
I don't like this. And I'm not getting used to the smell of fish like the chick on the radio said I would. It sounded all good until, because she was like, you just get used to it. I remember it clearly. But I've been here for a month and it's not getting any easier. It's all encompassing. The stink.
Yeah.
So he lies and said, there's been a car crash back home and my dad's died. I need to go home. He said, dad's died and mum's in intensive care. And then he was in touch with his partner, who then they call, and she's like, it's true.
Dad's dead.
So then she says that she's very concerned about his well-being if he stays on the boat.
Yeah.
On board, he's allowed to stop his duties and just chill.
Yeah.
And I believe that he was given $1,000 to send home to assist with the expenses.
Right.
And then it was just... It got worse for him. So they ended up bringing the boat in early.
Which is a big deal. That would have cost a lot of money, you'd imagine.
Well, I can give you an exact figure on how much reparation they want from this young man. $173,000. They believe that's what the cost of everything involved with this lie comes to.
And it was a lie. He was just sick of it. He wanted to come home.
I don't know how, when they got home, if they wanted some sort of proof. Proof of purchase, like dad's coffin receipt. I'm not exactly sure, but then they just, it all felt a bit.
Someone from the boat sees his dad and they're
come to pick him up.
The boat's coming home early. Dad's like, I'm going to meet you. Don't. No, I want to surprise you, son. I want to give you a big hug as you get off the boat. Don't, dad. I can't say why, but you've got to trust me. Don't come down.
Wow.
I'll bring your mother. Don't bring her. For Christ, she's in intensive care. No, she's not. She's right beside me. So it all fell to bits and now he's in court and that's how much the company wants off from $170,000.
Wow. Oh, no.
This is the largest that I'm aware of backfiring of a lie.
It's a brilliant story because it's not us.
I would love to know, maybe when it just spiraled out of control, when a lie got away on you.
And then
they just backfire on you.
Especially when you're using, you might just want a sick day and you use the old classic, someone's died. And then all of a sudden your work's sending you flowers. No, lots of people do that.
It's so bad.
I know somebody that had both of their grandmas.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they said as a lie, my grandma's died.
Yeah.
And then the person's like, oh my God, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And then in the next year, they lost their actual grandmothers, both of their grandmothers. And so the boss at the end of the year was like, you've got three? You've had three grandmas die.
Mm.
And they said, oh, yeah, granddad and grandma separated. So it's kind of like one was technically step-grandma.
Then they're making up.
Yeah, so now they've got a step-grandma.
All right.
Who's dead, by the way. Yep. But don't mourn for them because they didn't exist in the first place.
0800 dials at him right now. 9696 to text.
When did a lie backfire on you?
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
We're talking about when a lie spiraled out of control because a young guy, 20 years old, was out on one of those fishing boats that's out at sea for a little while. And I think he just decided he didn't really like it anymore. So he coerced with his partner back home, because I'm guessing you can communicate, and came up with a lie that there'd been a car accident that had killed his dad and his mum was in intensive care. It was all a lie. They want $173,000 reparation now too from
them. And that doesn't include the growling that your mum will give you.
Oh, yeah. Because you'd still get a growling at 20 if you did that.
Bloody dead, am I? Can a dead man whoop your ass like this? So we're talking about when lies just got completely out of control. I work at a primary school, someone said. They're a teacher.
Yeah.
And we've got one child who's up to their 15th dead grandparent as an excuse.
Oh.
They don't know we're keeping a tally of it. When they leave primary school, we want to award them
with the most, with dead grandparents.
The most dead grandparents used as reasons for time off school.
That's so funny.
15.
Wow.
But I thought it was up to your parents to come up with the lies for when you're off school. Like, you're taking them on holiday, but you say it's like a, I don't know.
Yeah.
Something else.
Maybe it's the parents that are stupid.
Quite a few text messages about people lying about drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Saying, oh, no, I'm not drinking. Somebody said, when I was young, I got really drunk after I told my dad I wouldn't drink till I turned 21.
That was ambitious.
So they were 18 years old, go out, get blottoed, and their dad's like, you told me you wouldn't drink till you're 21. They're like, Dad, my drink was spiked. Dad believed me and went into full investigation mode, demanded security footage from the bar I was at.
Oh, no. Dad.
And now has video proof of me slamming tequilas and doing 3 backdrafts.
Oh,
now,
okay.
What's a backdraft?
Backdraft, what is it? They put it in a little shot glass.
What do you mean, what's a backdraft? Have you
never done a backdraft? Fire and they sprinkle cinnamon on it and it goes, and they catch all the gas in the glass.
I've never heard it called a backdraft.
And then they put it out and then you suck the gas and do the shot, eh?
Backfire,
awful. Backdraft. And then one's bad. They did 3 as well as tequilas. So that's their dad's got proof.
Yeah, because it's the fumes that you suck up.
Yeah. Like, yeah, because Dad was ready to go absolutely to town on whoever had spiked my drink. But it was me all along. Somebody I know kept lying about pregnancies to get out of things. So I got to the point where they'd done this a couple of times. As soon as they said about the pregnancy, I put congratulations on your pregnancy on your Facebook, on their Facebook wall.
Yes.
And they'd say, it's a surprise, and they'd delete the comment. Next time they did it, I waited until she was at work where I knew she wasn't allowed on Facebook.
And I posted, stop doing that.
She was doing it apparently to guys.
Oh,
it was like a thing she was doing to the guys, but she'd obviously sell them friends in on the lie.
Right.
So her mother was ringing her, raging her for not telling her about the pregnancy that was on Facebook before she'd had it, and that her work bought her a $250 pregnancy gift basket, and she had to tell everybody she wasn't pregnant.
There you go. That'll teach you.
She didn't do it again.
Bust them on the lies.
All right, coming up on the show, Megan and I somewhat...
It's back, baby! Woo!
Yeah, I don't know if Megan and
I
are happy
about
this.
We had a bit of a debate this morning as to whether we were going to do this. Somehow.
It's back.
Somehow it's back.
It's because my holiday's been cancelled and you've got to give me a little, you've got to give me a little something.
Vaughn gets his way.
On holiday.
It is the return soon.
Of How Do You Know? Which is a game we play where somebody calls and they tell us a little bit about themselves. And if you're listening and you know them, you call and you're like, I know that person and this is how.
Yeah, that's literally.
Were we successful last time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember it was her 21st?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had that awkward moment where someone was like, yeah, we used to be really good friends, not so much anymore, didn't get an invite to the 21st. And then everyone was like, oh, let's not do this segment again. And then I was like, oh, I reminded them of why we didn't do it again.
Right.
How do you know if it's really? How do you know if it's Fletch? You're sabotaging my segment. We always have to find out their name before we play the intro bed because we can't sing along until we know their name.
There's a gap in there.
There's a gap where you've got to sing the name.
Stop.
This is sabotage.
Saboteur. This is why. Saboteur. This is why the segment is rubbish. It doesn't
it's
work.
So easy, don't. Don't blame the segment.
You just have to play it again.
We've got someone to play.
Okay.
First of all, what's your name?
Rachel.
Rachel. See, now you can play the thing.
Oh.
Are you going to sing along?
How do you know?
Good morning, Rachel. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good, let's get to know Rachel.
Can I ask, Rachel, have you heard this segment before?
No.
Okay, well, it's weird. It's weird.
It is weird. I'll give you that. It's a bit weird. I just thought New Zealand, this is how it came about. I thought New Zealand's such a small place, chances are anybody could get on the radio and someone would know who they were.
I've been overseas before and someone's like, do you know this person? And you're like, actually, yeah, I do know them.
Small. What's their last name? Rogers. Yes, I do know them. Bloody hell. New Zealand.
So the idea of this segment is, Rachel, we're going to ask you a few questions and we're going to see if somebody listening knows you. That's literally how it works.
Do we have base knowledge? Like, we just need to know where Rachel's from, right?
We can ask Rachel a few questions.
Okay.
Here between the three of us now.
Right.
And I mean, as soon as you think you know
Rachel,
that it's Rachel, I reckon Slight twist this time around.
Okay.
As soon as you know it's Rachel, you call. Like, if you've heard her voice just from her saying, I'm Rachel, and you know who it's Rachel, you call us now on 0800 ZM.
Is that her laugh?
Caitlin is ready to go on the phones. So as soon as you think of this, you know it's
Rachel.
We'll get you put through immediately and we'll see if it's the same Rachel.
Now, I forget the rules from last time, but are we allowed to ask Rachel's last
name? There's no rules.
There's no rules. Okay.
No, I don't reckon we ask Rachel's last name.
That's too easy.
Yeah, that's too easy.
That's
Let's
a rule.
Start with what city do you live in, Rachel?
Auckland.
Okay. Have you lived there your whole life?
We've got a phone call. Caitlin, see if they know Rachel from Auckland.
Have you lived in Auckland your whole life?
No, we moved here when I was two.
Where from? No, that doesn't matter. Okay. What do you do? Do you have a job or do you study?
I'm studying.
Okay, what do you study?
Physiotherapy.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good one. Okay. All the physiotherapists know each other.
And what kind of, do you have a specific hobby or something you enjoy in your spare time?
I play hockey.
Rachel from Auckland.
Physiotherapist, Rachel from Auckland, who loves hockey.
Who plays hockey.
I think you're going to need some
more.
I reckon if somebody's called through. Danielle's called through, Fletch, if you want to lock in Rachel. And get Danielle.
I can't get Danielle because
she's still talking to Danielle.
We've got
one second.
Rachel, do you know a Danielle?
Here we go. Danielle's
Danielle. I do actually.
Danielle, good morning.
Good morning.
Do you know Rachel?
I think so.
Oh, you think so? This is what I love it when it's
okay.
How do you think you know Rachel?
I think she dated my fiance. A long time ago.
Rachel, did you date Danielle's fiance?
No.
Well, no, but Danielle, what's your fiance's name?
Jamie.
Ever dated someone called Jamie, Rachel?
No.
Oh. No, not the same Rachel. Oh, I thought that would have been
That would have been
spicy.
Oh, that would have been so scandalous.
At least Rachel's lying to avoid that confrontation.
You were very quick to say no, Rachel.
No, I haven't.
No dating. She hasn't dated Jamie.
All right, okay.
She hasn't dated Jamie.
Do you think we ask a few more questions and then get some more calls and come back?
She's a physiotherapy student.
She's studying to be a physio, right?
In Auckland. Yep. She plays hockey. And her name's Rachel.
Because so far it's been very fruitless, Vaughn. Like, this is what happens with this segment. It's a bit vague and a bit...
No, but it's a bit of detective work.
Oh, my God. Okay.
What did we ask last time that was out? What school did you go to, Rachel?
Marist College.
Is that a Catholic school?
Yep.
Okay. So there we go. She went to a Catholic school. She may or may not still be Catholic.
Okay. I don't
what
know.
Colour, this guy. Are we allowed to ask what colour hair?
Yep. Oh, yeah. What colour hair do you have?
Black.
Black hair.
Okay.
That's enough clues.
That's enough clues.
Let's see if we can solve this mystery.
We're going to come back next with how do you know. If you think you know Rachel.
The physiotherapy student from Auckland with black hair who plays hockey and went to Marist.
0800 does it. Are you regretting taking part in this segment now, Rachel?
Pardon?
Are you regretting taking part in this weird segment?
Not really.
Okay. No, you're getting, not yet.
It's getting to even know yourself.
This is weird, Paul. This is not coming back. Megan and I are overhauling this segment again.
Back. How do you know if it's really Rachel? How do you know if it's him or her?
Well, it's the last time we do this segment.
I know. I'm kind of enjoying it.
It's fun.
Are you coming around?
Maybe. Yeah, she's coming around. She knows what's up.
Oh, I can't stand it.
Yeah, gotta play a bit fast and loose.
So Rachel joins us now. If you've just joining us, the segment we've asked Rachel a few questions about herself and we want to see if anybody knows Rachel.
Because New Zealand's such a small place. We've got it. Someone's got to be listening. New Zealand's a small place. Our listenership's very small. It's a match made in heaven.
Now, Rachel, just to recap, you're from Auckland.
You're a student studying physiotherapy. You play hockey and you went to Marist.
Black hair. Okay. Yes.
Somebody said, this is a text message, you can confirm, Rachel, whether or not there's anything in this. Long shot, but I know a Rachel from Auckland, married to a man named Rod and has two kids called Renee and Liam. If this is her, she's dyed her hair and changed her career path and is lying about what school she went to.
It's not her. Camille, is it Rachel? Do you know Rachel?
I'm not sure if I know Rachel, but I play hockey. And okay. I feel like the hockey is quite a small kind of community.
Okay, yeah. And yeah. You know a Rachel that plays hockey?
That has dark hair.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, these so far ticking boxes.
Is she a physiotherapist?
I don't know what career she does.
Do you know what, playing hockey, there's not a lot of time for chat with the opposition.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, what do you do for a, what are you studying? Physiotherapy. Good hour, yeah.
Do you know what team Rachel plays for?
Yeah, she plays for Howick Pickering, a hockey club.
Is that right, Rachel?
No.
Oh, we came so close.
We came so close.
It's like Cluedo.
Yeah.
It
isn't
really
it? You get the clues,
yeah.
But you've still got to work out if it's the
I'm
right
gonna
person.
Add the buzzers.
Oh, hot play. Yeah, good. Hot see, play. Now you're getting into it.
I'm getting into it.
You're getting into it. You're warm to the idea.
Erin, do you know Rachel?
I think I do.
How?
I went to school with her.
At Marist College?
At Marist College.
Okay, do you tell us a bit of info that only she'd know.
Well, she's Indian.
Rachel, are you of Indian descent?
Yes, I am.
And do you know Erin?
I do, actually.
Yes! I'm going to hit the buzzer! Yay! Well, there we go. So now
what? Like, have you guys caught up lately? Like, what was your relationship like at school?
It was good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Not like besties or? Okay.
Well, no, we weren't like besties.
But you knew each other to say hello?
Yes.
Are you friends on Facebook?
Small world
we
this
are
is.
On Facebook.
What a small world this is. I like this segment.
Yeah.
It's a great segment this is.
Oh, well, I believe we're gonna double down on people
okay.
that know Rachel.
Chelsea, how do you know Rachel?
Hi, I went to school with her as well.
Oh my God, did you go to school with Erin as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you remember Erin?
Not really.
Oh, this is awkward.
That's awkward.
Erin, do you remember Chelsea? Do you remember Chelsea?
No.
Oh, my God. Chelsea, do you even know Rachel?
But this segment is how do we know if it's really Chelsea?
Not Erin.
It's not that. It's about Rachel.
But Rachel, do you know Chelsea?
I do know Chelsea.
Oh, let's see if it's the same Chelsea.
Oh.
Chelsea, you got any little tidbits that Rachel could confirm?
At the end of your year 13, we took a cool photo sharing a tie. You know your tie?
Rachel.
Rachel? Did you share a tie and a cool photo at the end of year 13?
Oh, yes!
Yay!
Friends for life!
Friends
share a tie!
Now
she's been remembered. She's taken a walk down memory lane.
Oh, for a moment there, I was like, this is the wrong tie. You had a tie photo with another
Rachel who fits the bill on all the other criteria.
Okay,
so
well,
what happens now we know Rachel?
Well, we know it's Rachel.
Okay.
Rachel, also, somebody messaged in saying they're your cousin and Rachel's not your real name.
Yep, that's actually true.
Oh, wow. Wait, what
is your real name?
My real name's Priyanka, but I just go by Rachel because it's my middle name.
Right. Okay. Well, what a twist on how do you know if it's really
Priyanka. So then, I've still haven't made the outro because I thought the segment wasn't coming back. James, put that on a to-do list for after the show today. We're going back into the recording studio.
We're not doing the segment
because
again.
Now, Paul, now, because it goes like, that's how we know that it's really Rachel. That's how we know that it's really her. Priyanka as well.
Okay. Are you done?
Yeah, we're done. Good. Hey, all thanks right. for playing, Rachel.
No.
I think Rachel needs a
got
prize.
Got a little summer for you. Yeah, got a little summer
there
for
we
you.
Go.
ZM's Fledge, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Fact of the day.
I'm going to hit you. I'm just going to smack you in the face with the fact and then we can discuss it.
Okay.
Professor Robin Fox, a professor of anthropology, that's the study of humans.
Mm.
Is that the same as Ross from Friends?
No, he's
paleontologist. Dinosaurs.
He's dinosaurs.
Okay.
We're humans. Professor of anthropology at Rutgers University, has said it is more than likely 80% of all marriages in history have been between second cousins or closer.
Ooh, yuck.
Because
most of history happened before. No, hang on. Most of history
is right up until now.
Yeah.
80% of all marriages that have taken place throughout history have been between second cousins or closer. Because this whole don't marry in your family thing's only been around for like...
That's what I mean.
A century and a half.
Yeah,
before
right.
that, like when there was land and wealth involved or yep. power, like even the British royal families, they've kept it pretty close. Mm.
But then you know what it was like in the 1700s. You're living way out in the country in your castle.
Yeah.
You want to go on a Tinder date to the pub. You got to get in your horse and carriage.
Yeah.
So much effort.
Oh, and there's always a checkpoint on the way home, so you can't have too, yeah. too many yeah. Malt ales or whatever yep. they drink back there. And then you get done.
Exactly.
Do you horse on yep. the way home. So it's best just to pop next door to your cousin's house and marry them.
Exactly.
80%.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because no family wanted to lose anything, so they kept it. They kept it kind of in the family.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, brothers and sisters, that's creepy ass. But move it one step further, and you'd be second cousins.
Why or closer. Aren't you allowed? Is it because there's like issues that can come from that kind of thing, breeding what? Within
family? Is it it's the British royal family that are prone to haemophilia, right? The
yes.
where you cut yourself and you can't stop bleeding.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I liked how flared up your eyes got. Like, what have you just said on the radio?
What is this?
Because of the fact that it was a problem, but then the inbreeding just exemplifies the problem. Like dogs, like purebred dogs, if you see what they looked like 100 years ago compared to what they look like now, like all the features that people were after have become exacerbated. Right. And it's like led to dogs who can't breathe and
oh, like little Frenchies. They're so cute. Yeah. They're really so cute. Inbred.
Yeah. The breeding's made them worse and worse and worse, and it really amplifies all the health problems.
Taylor Swift's cat, Scottish Folds, they're really inbred. They're banned in Australia, I think.
Are they?
Yeah, because they're so cruel. Inbred. Yeah.
They're a little flat face.
Goes on their problems.
So if you're a Team Katie, that's another reason to be anti Taylor Swift.
She's encouraging.
Just encouraging inbreeding cats.
Cat inbreeding.
Yeah.
Then you're one to talk because surely British Blues are only a step behind Scottish Folds when it comes to inbreeding. Ignorant bliss. So, yeah, today's fact of the day is a professor of anthropology has said it is more than likely 80% of all marriages in human history have been between second cousins or closer.
Fact of the day.
ZM's Fledge, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Well, I've had a bit of I've got a problem.
Okay.
Yesterday I noticed one of our hatch mills wasn't working. Now this is, these were the absolute must have last Christmas.
That's right. I remember Hatchimals. They were selling them on Trade Me and they were going for crazy. Ridiculous
amounts of
money.
And now they can't give them away.
Right.
Well, I mean, the demand certainly dropped.
So they were like a toy that was in an egg.
They were pretty cool. You bought them and they were in an egg. You opened them up and on the bottom you like pulled out these pegs.
Yeah.
And that activated it.
Okay.
And then it would be on and it would start spinning around and its little beak would start pecking at the egg. Like, have you ever seen a duck or a chicken come out of an egg?
It's crazy. They can make that happen.
I know. It was actually pretty awesome. Peck, 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 and stop. And then you'd see little colours inside, and the colours would mean something. Like, blue means it's cold, so you'd have to, like, rub the egg.
Oh.
And then it would start tapping again. Or
could you microwave it just for like 20 seconds to warm it up?
No. Yeah, it wasn't actually a warm thing. It was just a touch sensor.
Oh, right.
I didn't have an inbuilt thermometer in it. Either way, don't put a Hatchimal in the microwave.
Okay.
It'll explode and probably burn your house down. So then they tap around and you get them out and then they'd just be a Hatchimal and they wouldn't do much. And then when they were cold, you had to rub them, or hungry, you had to tickle their belly and all this different sort of stuff. And then eventually it would level up to the next Hatchimal and it would walk around.
Oh, okay.
And then there was another level of Hatchimal past that.
Right.
So it kind of grew up, kind of like a Tamagotchi, but actually a real thing.
Cool. Did your girls just get over it and just chuck it in the corner?
Every now and then they get them out and they turn them on and they buzz around on the floor.
Right.
Yesterday, August's green Hatchimal, non-responsive.
Oh, my God.
I know.
R.I.P.
I know.
Did you have to?
Non-responsive. So I changed the batteries.
Right.
Effectively giving it the old defibrillator.
Yeah.
Non-responsive.
Was she upset? Because obviously Indies were still going.
I kind of was like, oh, well, I'll have a look. We'll see what we can do. So I Googled, like, common Hatchimal problems, and there were five main problems.
Okay.
So I eliminated the first four.
Okay. Yeah.
Some of them were as simple as, like, change the batteries. I'd done that. There was the bit that when it pops out of the egg and you click it out so it stops spinning around and tapping.
Right.
sometimes those get caught in there and they can cause a problem. That wasn't a problem.
Okay.
The one I got it down to was it's been dropped at some stage and the gears, the internal gears have slipped against each other and they can't turn. I was like, well, this makes sense because the wheel won't turn. So I watched some dad's video of how you take apart a Hatchimal. And,
oh, boy.
And just access the gear shaft and just twist it so it starts twisting again.
Yeah.
So I was like, Vaughn, remember where you're taking these screws out of. Which I'm terrible at normally.
Yeah.
But this is quite a complex creature once you get the fur off it and stuff. These Hatchimals, there's a lot happening
so
in a Hatchimal.
Skinned it.
So I skinned the Hatchimal.
Oh, my God.
Following the instructions to the T.
Right.
Got to the hard, unscrewed the Hatchimal, opened the Hatchimal.
Mm.
And that's when I was like, shit. Like, this is a complex machine.
Are you doing this open Hatchimal surgery? Like,
on the bench.
In front of the kids?
Yeah, they walk past and they're like, how's it going? I'm like, I think it's going okay. So, and I've got everything kind of set out as I needed it.
Yeah.
And then my wife's like, can you set the table for dinner? I'm like, all right, nobody touch this Hatchimal. So I set the table and I turn around and the Hatchimal has just been, and if my wife's very angsty about the bench, the Hatchimal had just all been swept to one end of the bench. And I looked, I was like, I said, don't touch the Hatchimal. She said, that was all over the bench. I was like, but we're not using the bench. This is like walking into an operating theatre and just being like,
dinner.
I'm just going to put all the organs in the corner. This is so messy. Push everything into the corner of the operating theatre.
It's all ruined.
So I'm just now, I'm looking at a jig. I'm playing with a jigsaw puzzle blind.
Right.
I don't know where the screws are. I don't know where I was up to because I had it all like sitting because there's wires everywhere. So it was hard. So I had it like positioned around the bench.
Yeah.
For open heart
surgery.
So
what's happened? It's just a mess.
So I found the gear thing, and it was a gear issue.
Right.
Right, so you fixed the gear issue, but now putting it back together is your next issue.
I just looked at it. I was like, I don't know where any of this goes anymore.
Yeah.
So I put it back together as best I could. And as best I could, I mean I could literally just like click it shut and then
screw it,
do the six screws that definitely weren't out of the right holes to hold it together. Put the skin back over the Hatchimal, reattach the wings.
Yep.
Tighten the cable tie around the bottom. No go. One of the wheels is actually not even connected properly.
Okay, what's August said about this?
Around there. And she was like, oh, you fixed it. I was like, yes, but let's not play with it tomorrow because it's bath time and then bedtime. So I have got to find a green Hatchimal.
By the time.
Where? And that's the thing, because you don't know what colour they are until it comes out of the egg.
Well, just,
and it's August's birthday today. Like, I reckon I can get away with today because she's going to get all the other gifts out there.
Yep.
And she'll be, but it's going to come to the point next time Indy switches on her Hatchimal.
Oh, yeah. Just her August one will be like,
where's my Hatchimal? Both.
That's what I'm thinking. Do I kill Indy's Hatchimal?
You should say that this
put a screwdriver against its head and just bash it through with a hammer.
Just say
small mark. You'll never be able to tell.
Just say that Mama Hatchimal came and took them to
took
the
them
farm.
Back.
Yeah.
That's really
good. That's the next level. It's a good idea. Or just buy a green Hatchimal or trade me.
I need to find an already hatched green Hatchimal.
But you just got to check it doesn't have like Siggy stains or something. You don't know where these Hatchimals have been.
No, you don't know. That's the thing about adopting a rescue Hatchimal. Like everybody says, get a rescue Hatchimal, get a rescue Hatchimal. But you don't know what sort of abuse they've suffered and if there's going to be any long-term consequences. It seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
You take it to a couple of Hatchimal classes at the local vets. But then one day it just lashes out and bites the children. And you have to get it put down.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Mel, what's your story for last calls?
Hi. So a few years back, I was a customs dog handler, and it was the end of the shift, and I decided to take my dog for a swim down at Lake Pupuki.
Okay.
Anyway, I opened up the back of the ute, and he just took off down the end of the pier. And there were these swans that were, like, in the water.
Yeah.
And so he started, he leapt off and he started swimming like a bat out of hell trying to chase these swans. Anyway,
oh my God.
This swan just sort of stayed a couple of metres ahead of him and just kept almost, like, teasing him. And I was screaming at the top of my lungs trying to get him back because I was thinking, holy, these dogs are worth a lot of money.
Not a great look either for it to be murdering a swan in front of the people at Swater Protect.
Also, are we talking one of the beagles, the cute beagles, or are we talking a lab?
He was a chocolate lab.
Yeah, those guys know how to party.
They're pretty thick anyway. So
yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, so I was thinking this is getting a little bit ridiculous now because he was a little speck in the ocean now. I couldn't see him anymore. But he'd swum right out to the middle and I was starting to panic thinking, oh my gosh, there's $20,000 floating around.
You're starting to think, could I just replace this with another chocolate Labrador and would that be able to sniff out coke?
So he banged his head and forgot all his training.
Yeah.
Or he did too good a job and now he's just smashed his brain on coke.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was thinking, oh gosh, anyway. So I thought, oh my gosh, I need a boat. I need something because I can't swim. I had these heavy overalls on with steel cap boots.
So yeah.
Yeah.
I started racing around and I saw like a boat club.
Yeah.
And so I ran up these stairs because it was, it was fairly early in the morning anyway. So, and I was banging on the door and this guy opened the door and I just like blurted out because I was panicked. And I was like, I need a boat. My dog's going to drown. And he was like staring at me like I was some kind of weirdo. And anyway, so he goes, oh, I've got like this kayak kind of canoe thing. And I was like, no, I need something fast. Like, because he's going to drown. He's been out there like 15 minutes now.
Yeah.
And anyway, he goes, no, come with me. Anyway, he pulled up this roller door and he dragged this like canoe kayak thing out. And at the time, I didn't actually realise it was Ian Ferguson.
From Ferg's kayak?
From
triple Olympic gold medalist.
Yeah. I had no idea. And I was like, because I was so beside myself. And then anyway, he goes, oh, I can't go out of my jeans, so I need to take my pants off. So I was thinking, well, I'm not doing the same. I'll take my shoes off, but I'm not sitting on Lake Pupuki with a man that I don't know in his underwear.
And his undies chasing a chocolate lab.
But I tell you what, if you want anyone powering your kayak,
he's
don't
worry.
Yeah, I mean, short of Lisa Carrington, he'll do.
I got this.
I know. So we jumped in, and anyway, and I was just thinking, oh, God, I hope we get there, because the only thing I could see was the swan, because...
Yeah.
The dog was chocolate and it was blended in against the lake. Yeah. So anyway, we ended up like literally getting there just as he was going under. And Ian pulled him in and the dog pretty much wrapped his paws around me as if to say, thank God you got there. But yeah, when we finally got back, I suddenly realised who it was because my panic had stopped. I was so embarrassed.
Oh, wow.
But did he paddle like a bat out of hell?
Yeah, he had like, it was like a rowboat because there were no motorboats or anything. And he went so fast. I was so impressed.
Were you like this? You're really good at this. You could be an Olympic rower, is that, or a kayaker. Is that what you thought?
Yeah, I didn't even think. I was just thinking if I don't get this dog back, I'm just going to keep driving and not come back.
Oh, wow. That's
an
amazing.
He's 64 now. I've pulled up a photo of Ian Ferguson in his heyday. Hot, a good looking dude, eh? Like,
oh, built, eh? Oh, yeah.
Look at those guns.
He did say to me at the time, my fiance is not going to believe this, and I'm rowing out in my underwear.
That is a great story. Are we going to go to caller number two,
can we get the other caller to call back tomorrow for last calls?
Yeah,
because I just love that story.
It's such a great story. It's got a dog. It's got a former Olympic, great
rower and his undies
and a dog
and
a happy ending.
Yeah,
congratulations, Mel. It doesn't happen much.
Did we ever get the dog's name?
His name was Zen.
Causing you anything but Zen.
That was the Fletch, Vaughn and Megan podcast. For more, catch them every morning from 6 and check them out on Facebook. ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. ZM.